But the Link Unit Manager is just the tactical data link manager. So anytime we need to use any kind of tactical data links, or if another entity like the group needs to use tactical data links, they work through me. I'm the one that coordinates with the Spectrum Management Office and Tataloma, which handles all Link 16.
I'm Joe C. Mandel, and welcome to Raven Conversation. And today I'm joined by Staff Sergeant James Carlson. You are a Link Unit Manager, and I'm going to ask, what is a Link Unit Manager here in a second, at the 116th Air Support Operations Squadron. There was a great story that came out a few months ago about you kind of transitioning from being an M-Day Guardsman, making a lot of money in the civilian world, and decided to come AGR. And he's here to kind of share his story, what he does in the Guard, and really just how he got into it. So thanks for coming on, James. Appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me.
So what is a Link Unit Manager?
Okay, well, that's kind of my official title. But the Link Unit Manager is just the tactical data link manager. So anytime we need to use any kind of tactical data links, or if another entity like the group needs to use tactical data links, they work through me. I'm the one that coordinates with the Spectrum Management Office and Tataloma, which handles all Link 16, and just start getting everything prepared, get all the files we need, get everything organized, there's a whole lot of details into it, but I'm basically, I need to coordinate everything to be able to use those waveforms when we're communicating.
Yeah, see, the hardest question right off the bat.
Yeah,
What do you do, and what's a Link Unit Manager? So, intro and background on yourself.
Oh, how much time do we have?
As much as you want.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm married, been married since 2011, and my wife and I, we have four kids. They're 11, 9, 7, and 4. So very busy lifestyle. My wife stays home with the kids, which, you know, I get to go to work. She has to stay home. I graduated high school in 2009. Me and my friends always talked about joining the military, but never really took the leap. And then I just kind of got right into school, and just a little bit into school. And I ended up finishing my AA, but I started working part-time at Walmart and back in 2010, and just to make extra money while going to school. I had no idea what I still wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I was just trying to make money, eventually be able to marry my girlfriend, who's now my wife, Kelsey. And I just started with retail, and it just kept working out for me. Every time I tried to leave, which I tried to leave multiple times, you know, I'd have some job offers here or there, try to get to some government jobs, and just every time I'd either get a pay raise or a promotion, which usually meant a pay raise, or just, you know, whatever it was, a new project, going to a new store, it just kept sucking me in, which was great. I mean, I learned a lot in my civilian career, and going from a part-time sales associate to eventually a store manager, not at Walmart, but with Burlington. A lot happened in that time frame. That's really been my career. I left Walmart in 2015 because I did a lot of overnights. They like to have the managers on overnights that were getting stuff done and everything, and I was just getting tired of it, and it was hard on my family. I was a zombie during the day. Yeah. On my days off, when I wasn't sleeping, I was a zombie. It was just terrible. And I'm way too social for that, too. And there's not a whole lot of people except for the ones you don't want in the store at night. So Burlington reached out to me and said, hey, you want to come over here? More pay, no overnights. I'm like, all right, let's do it. So
yeah, it's funny because, like, as you were talking, my wife worked retail for a long time with Bed Bath & Beyond, and she actually got stolen by Starbucks to come over there. And then she was kind of in this position where she became like the fixer, you know, a store would, a store or cafe would start kind of losing sales. She would have to go in and fix it. And so it kind of sounds like very similar. They just kept giving you opportunities and you're like, okay, and you just kind of got there. So,
yeah, well, and that's really kind of I'm not trying to jump ahead, but where we are now, in my life, especially, is a total change on my outlook on everything and what I was driven by mm-hmm. and motivated by. But that's what it was. That's what kept getting me. And it was, you know, money and success and growth in one very specific avenue.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I like this feeling. This feels good. You know,
yeah.
I'm appreciated. And, but it sucks you in. And then, yeah, I was the fixer, at Walmart. Same thing. Overnights is backing up. James, we need you to go overnights again, help clean. I'm not perfect. I'm not the best manager yeah. in the world. Right. But, everybody has their strengths and everything. And I was the fixer. Go in, fix everything up. Same thing with the other stores. I'd go around to other stores at Burlington, and I was the store manager that trained other store managers when they came on, trained assistant managers, went to stores to implement new programs and check on stuff and audit things and all these things. And it was just like all these dangling carrots everywhere.
Yeah. And you were part of the guard at this point in time, right?
I was after 2017.
Okay.
So yeah, I started with Burlington in 2015 as an assistant manager in 2017.
So how did you learn about the guard?
Well, I didn't even know really the air guard existed. I don't know. It's confusing. I did, but I didn't. I never really thought about the air guard. Everything when I was in school, mm-hmm. when the recruiter came out,
it was Army guard,
it was
right?
Always Army. Yeah. And you'd remember the guy, you know,
yeah.
just the way he was. That was all we got, was the Army National Guard. So I never even considered the Air National Guard because I never even heard about it. And then in 2017, we had some military friends. And so I'm sure that kind of helped the situation. But
yeah.
some of our neighbors were friends, and they were military, and we saw that life. And I had always wanted to do it, and not just really because I wanted to be able to, I guess, you know, when I'm older, say I served and just have that be a big part of my life and everything. So I was always driven to do that. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to regret this if I don't
yeah.
join and do what I wanted to do, even if I only do one enlistment. At least I did it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I think I actually heard about the Air Guard, from our friends, General Tui's daughter and her husband, Tyler. His daughter's name is Elena. We were friends with them, you know.
Probably well before you ever met John Tui and realized
yeah.
he was a general officer in the Air Guard.
no idea. And that's what's funny about it is, so I came into my wife's life, officially. We knew each other from way back in the day, but, in like 2009, 2010, that's when my wife and I started dating, and she had already been friends with Elena.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she knew Tyler. But then in 2010, Tyler and I actually worked at Walmart together. He was asset protection, and we'd always get in trouble for hanging out or whatever.
Yeah.
I was a hard worker, but anytime I ever got yelled at, it was like a, James, come on, you know. But we'd always get caught, you know, just chit-chatting and everything, and became friends. And then in 2013, my wife was super pregnant and with our first child, and we were the best man and maid of honor in their wedding. And so that's really like the official time when I met General Tui.
Yeah.
And really nice guy. I just instantly I was like, you know, this is a guy to look up to.
Yeah. Shout out to John Tui.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably not
yeah.
listening, but
not.
I love that guy. He was fantastic.
Yeah.
Answer.
Yeah. And so anyway, then the friendship just stayed throughout the years and everything. And I think we were talking about, it was in 2017 when I first brought it up to my wife about it. And she saw the neighbors and the friends, and there's a lot of time away, right?
Yeah.
There was always time away. But for my wife, she saw the time when they were home and just how much time they had together. And it was just really interesting to us. And of course, I was the convincing one in the argument. I really
yeah.
wanted to do something more than just be in retail the rest of my life, even if it was on a part-time basis. Anyway, I knew that I couldn't go active duty because I needed that civilian job that was
mm-hmm.
paying me well, bringing me success, all that stuff I needed to. And so I was looking at part-time opportunities, and Kelsey had been texting Elena, and Elena said, hey, why doesn't he just talk to my dad?
Yeah.
You know, about the Air Guard. And I didn't even think about it. And so he's actually the first phone call, the first conversation about the Air Guard that I had.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it kind of went.
Not a bad guy to talk to.
No, not a bad guy at all. And yeah, so I talked to him. I actually told my associates at the time that I had a conference call, and I went into the office and I talked to him for, I don't know, a little more than an hour, about everything. And by the end of the call, he was trying to hook me up with a recruiter and everything. And it went on from there.
Yeah. So kind of looking over your story, it sounds like a lot of it was probably driven in 2020, right? With everything that was going on. When did you make the shift from thinking, hey, I want to be a part-time guardsman to, hey, I want to do this full time?
Yeah.
What did that shift look like for you?
So I would say it was always there. I don't even know if I'd say it was in 2020. I always enjoyed it. Every time I came to drill, I always wanted to do more. I wanted to be smarter on everything. I wanted to be at the level where I knew so much about it and I could be the SME about it. And it would frustrate me every time I'd leave. And then I'd have, you know, we were doing every other month at that point. And I would leave and then I'd come back and be like, oh, I hate that I had to go back and focus on this other stuff. I want to be able to just be the guy to go to. And it's hard in the guard. And so that was all, it was just accumulating that whole time. In 2020, I did, we got put on furlough at Burlington, and they paid us for 2 weeks, and then we were going to be on 2-3 weeks, depending on how long. They forecasted that we would open back up in June, and this was the beginning of April when a lot of this was happening. And I was like, not against anybody who did, but I was like, I can't take unemployment. Like, I need to do something.
Yeah.
I just had 2 weeks off with my family that was paid. It was great. I enjoyed it. But I'm like, I'm not going to miss out on this opportunity. I need to serve. I need to do something. And so my wife and I talked about it. Sure, she would have loved the fact if I would have taken unemployment and stayed home.
Yeah.
But instead, I, you know, let the 111th know that I really wanted to come out for COVID orders. And so I did that for 100 and something days, and had a great experience. I really enjoyed a lot of it. I got to do a food bank, a warehouse, and then the health, the COVID tracing for a while. That was where I ended it and everything. And the big drawback was me coming back to Burlington again. Because of a promotion.
Yeah.
And so that's where it happened. The big reason why 2020 was such a pivotal point in, I guess, my career, in both my civilian career and military career, is in 2019, the beginning of 2019, I had to go to tech school.
Yeah.
And then I had already planned out the rest of that year, basically, just to keep hopping on orders. I was probably annoying about it by saying that when I get back, I'm going to have 4 months of OJT.
Yep.
All right. Now, if there's orders after that, I'd like to take the orders. Now, at the time, I had just gotten out of my store. We had a brand new store manager at the end of 2018, and it just wasn't jiving. Yeah. I was a strong operations manager as an assistant manager. And as a store manager and an operations manager, you have to be able to work well together and use each other's strengths and weaknesses. And it was just a power trip for that person.
Yeah.
And so going into 2019, I was like, I need to take a break.
You needed a change.
I need to do something different. And this is a great opportunity to do it. So I worked all of 2019 up until December. Well, really, the beginning of January when I went back to Burlington. But the reason I left in 2019 and didn't keep on hopping on orders is there's another guy, Technical Sergeant Jordan Starks over at WADS. Hi, Jordan, if you're watching. He was with me about the same time. We joined about the same time, everything. He had just, he needed a job at that moment.
Yeah.
I had something to go back to, and there was only orders for one person. And so it was a mutual decision to, for me to go back. I was told by a brand new district manager who I worked really well with that that old store manager was gone and I could come back and she wanted to be a store manager for her. So I came back, did that 2 months, and then COVID shut down. Yeah. And so then I did the orders and I was back at it again. I loved it. I loved doing it every day. And then Burlington calls back, hey, when are you actually going to come back? Like, we're starting to open the stores up and you're going to be store manager as soon as you come back. So again, I was like, here's my career getting sucked back into it. So I went back and became store manager and started everything all over again, you know, started into a new position and kept trying to push my way up, just see that shiny object and just, I'm going to do whatever I can to get to it. And every time I get to it, guess what? There's a new shiny
object.
There's another one.
Yeah. So what was that, it sounds like the path then you were already kind of feeling like you wanted to come be full time. So what year did you finally make that transition and that jump to be a full time guardsman?
That was in 2023. So store manager, 2021, 22, 23, I saw a lot of success. I was, like I said, I mean, I was the fixer, which was great for me. I had a great relationship with the other store managers. Everything was going good. They all looked up to me. I was the SME, and, you know, everybody had their own strengths and everything. But, you know, I trained the new store managers, just all these things. And then it was getting to the point where I was starting to prepare for district manager. And the regional manager and my district manager and the whole regional team and district team, right, they all were in my corner. They all supported me. And it was at that point, at the beginning of 2023, when I did a kind of like a practice interview. Like, it was, I was interviewing for another position, but it was for me to get practice. Like, I wasn't going to get the job, right? And so it wasn't hard to hear that I didn't get the job because I already knew that. But at that point, I then had another interview for a district manager job. And between those times, like, all this stuff was changing at Burlington. And a lot of Ross was coming into a lot of the upper leadership. And you could tell the direction was changing for the company. Mm-hmm. A lot of the culture was changing. A lot of things were changing. And you saw a lot of district managers coming in who were prior Ross district managers. Yeah. And I'm not saying they weren't qualified and
but
I was overqualified or anything like that. But I just, it was more of a, okay, you have some very qualified people who are coming in. And that's the reason why they're getting these positions, right? Not because they have an in. But you have these qualified people. And I'm like, you know, if that's the case, I have a lot to work on over the next year. And this is good for me. I can do a lot to work on myself and get to that point where I'm better than that other qualified existing district manager that wants to come over. But then that's when I was like, you know what, this, I feel like I'm just chasing the carrot so much. And at that point, I saw that the door wasn't closing for me for a district manager, but the hallway got longer.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't want to be in a store anymore. I don't want to do the holiday season. I don't want to do the day-to-day stuff that I have to do at the store. And at that point, that's when I said, talk to my wife about going full-time with the guard. Now, right at that time, though, May of 2023, my enlistment was coming up.
Okay.
And I was getting out. And my wife and I were both on board with it. My wife was excited for me to only have one focus, especially because I wanted to do the best in both, but I couldn't. So I was really leaving the guard. I even turned in paperwork and everything. And so I was done by the end of May and handed in my card, everything. And then a lot just developed in that first 2 weeks of June. In the end of June, I really just started feeling this tug. Like, I'm tired of chasing money, chasing success that just leads me like a carrot chasing around, right? It's success, which is great, but what am I really getting from it? Yeah. What are my priorities in life? And so my wife and I really talked about it, and she's been like, I've been telling you this for years. You know, I'm like, okay,
it's something about like that fulfillment inside.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're doing something that isn't just for you, but it's for somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing is I thought I was doing it for other people. But when I really think about it, I think I was really enjoying what I was getting. It's almost selfish of me, right? It was good for my family, and I saw it as good for my family because I'm providing for them. I'm making good money, but it's really not good money when you're single income because my wife stays at home, right? But I was making good money. I was taking care of my family. They had food. They had all these things. But I worked long hours. Yeah. I commuted a lot. I just did so much and I invested so much that I really, you say yes to one thing and then you're saying no to another.
Yeah.
Right.
There's something about it, and part of it is there's something about when you're able to say, hey, I'm leaving here and I'm going to make my kids baseball games or their soccer games mm-hmm. or something, because you're not chasing something or being, hey, you have to work another 3 hours at this job.
Yeah.
You're able to kind of get away and do those things. So I imagine that probably is also part of it too. Think about that work-life balance.
Well, that was a huge thing, is because I wanted to shift my focus from seeing success and growth and working extremely hard to get where I could get to. And once I get there, it's going to be better. Yeah. You know? No, it's not, because I'm going to work. It's not my personality. I'm going to just continue to work harder.
Right.
My wife jokes that even if I was a garbage man, and nothing against garbage guys, like those guys,
you'll
do
try
really
to
well.
Get another level
like,
up.
I couldn't just be the garbage man. I would always try to be the best garbage man, and you know, whatever it was. And that was at that point that I just was like, where are my priorities at?
Yeah.
And my wife, where are our priorities at? And it was time or money.
Yeah.
We can't have both. It doesn't feel like there's ever enough money.
But
and time is just wasting away. We chose time. For the first time in my life, I chose time. And really, you know, with my faith, for the first time I said, God, like, I'm tired of making decisions. I'm tired of being the one, like, I'm going to go get that shiny object. I'm going to keep working hard. No matter what it is that I do, I'm always going to work hard. But I'm done with making the decisions by myself and for my own growth. And that's what was really calling me to the guard, was the time that I could have with my family. Sure, there's trips going on
and there's
next
weekends,
week.
And there's all the things.
Drill weekend. There's all kinds of stuff. But we don't have the Mondays off anymore. But the 3-day weekends were huge for deciding that, right? And I had figured it out. I calculated all the days to a certain extent of how much I worked at Burlington versus how much I would be working with the guard. And while there's some fluctuations there, and depending on exercise lengths and everything, but I was 69% working in store at Burlington. And that meant I had 31% time at home. In the guard, it was flopped opposite. Yeah. It was 30% that I was actually in the building working. And I included leave and did all that, right? Because obviously I'm working more than 30% of the year, but with leave. And that was huge. That was a big thing for me. That was a motivator. I had a good relationship with my kids and my wife. I've always had a good relationship, but I wanted more, and I've seen it like you wouldn't believe.
It sounds very much like me. So my daughter was born in 2019, and for the first, and my wife works from home for the state, and part of that is I would take our daughter every Monday, and we would go shopping together. We'd do all the errands together, and that built that bond that I think is critical as a father who's like, hey, you know, you're out working, you know, I go to the office 5 days a week and my wife still works from home, but I still have that bond. And I think that's important. And you're really kind of hitting on that. So,
yeah, that was my thing, is like, hey, as long as I'm providing money for my family and I'm there every night doesn't matter how late it is, though, because I wasn't there for dinner a lot of the time. I'd be getting home so late. But as long as I'm doing all these things and I'm seeing my family and they can see their father in the house, then everybody's happy.
Yeah.
And that is just not the case. Now, again, maybe I'm over-dramatizing it to really just, but that's how I felt. But now going into it, I have so much more time with my family to where I can spend the day and I can take the kids shopping. And I'm about to go on an exercise next week, and I'm going to be away from my family for a little bit. But I'm going on dates with each one of my kids, and I can just spend that time. Just even if I just go outside and on a walk with my kids and just let them talk to me. Oh my, they will talk forever.
Yeah,
and they just love it. They soak it all up. And that was a huge thing for motivating me to come to the Guard. It was not money. By any means. And that was the scary part for me, because I found so much security and success and money that going to the Guard, I'd be not a store manager, but I was a senior airman when I came back full time again in 2023. And so the success back at the bottom.
You're kind of back at a lower level.
Way back at the bottom, right?
Yeah.
Like all these things. And so it was the first time that I really decided that. And it was because I just knew that I could gain so much more and more fulfillment, I'd actually have a purpose when I came here. And that was my big driver, was just the purpose that I find, the camaraderie that I can have with the units, especially in the ASOS and the guys I work with. Just that's what drove me back to here.
So that kind of leads me to the next question I had was, so you've always been part of the ASOS community, 111th or 116th. What is the thing that you like about doing the job?
There's a lot.
Yeah. Because it is a fun sounding job.
Yeah, it is. It's the people, though, that make it. You could have the best job in the world, and you would hate it if you had a terrible boss or terrible guys that you work with, whatever it is, your peers. First and foremost, it's definitely the people, working with everybody in the unit. Both at the 111th, I made a lot of longtime relationships there. And then going to the 116th, really, they're going to probably give me a hard time for even saying some of these things. But I felt accepted quickly coming in. Yeah. I had to earn my keep. I'm still trying to earn my keep most days. But it was just the team mentality that you come in, and we're all driven towards one goal. And while I'm still learning a lot of the aspects of the career field, the career field's changing a lot too.
Yeah.
The mission set of the ASOS anyway. But just being focused together to get that shiny object is what I find them. That's where I really find the fulfillment. I'm feeling purpose working together instead of climbing up there myself and taking everybody out that I can on my way up. That's what really drives me a lot. But I do also love just the mission set of the ASOS and just the distributed communications that we do, the equipment we get to work with, and just the exercises we get to go on to, and the coordination behind it all, and the planning. That's what I love doing. I love prepping all the planning and going out there and executing all the stuff that you've been prepping for this whole time. Mm-hmm. And, just depending on the exercise that we're doing, it can be exciting going out there. And you get to go out there, out in the outdoors sometimes, and just setting up all the gear that you're doing and getting up communications. And it sounds extremely nerdy sometimes to say, but when you're working really hard to make this thing talk to this thing, whatever it is, whatever type of equipment, and it happens and you see that person on a screen, it's exciting.
Yeah.
Right? You find that fulfillment. And a lot of times it's a couple of you working together and everybody's like, yeah, high fives because we finally got it to work and make it work. And then once it's there, it's amazing how effective we can be. And that's what's also driving factors. Like, we can be this powerhouse of a community to drive the mission set, right?
Yeah.
And Bash, it's an exciting mission, you know. And I love being a part of the distributed comms, distributed C2. So
yeah. So I imagine, you know, there's probably not a lot of crossover between being an ASOS person and being a manager of a retail store, but there's probably some tie togethers right there. So mm-hmm. What are those things you learned from your civilian career that you're able to bring into your position now?
So patience and learning, especially with my associates, you're working with 100 different people in the store, from your supervisors or from your assistant managers to your supervisors to leads and all the associates below them. You learn everybody's strengths and everybody's weaknesses, mm-hmm. including your own, and as you work amongst your peers and everything too. But having patience across the board and understanding that if you go to 2 different people for the same thing, this one might be able to get it to you right away in the way you want it and exactly how you imagined it. And this person might not, right? But then you go out for something else and that person's going to be the one for it. Yeah. And just so the patience, and that leads right into knowing your people, being able to delegate. And not that I'm in a position of delegating necessarily, but it does happen at drills, especially when me and some of the guys are leading trainings and we're just, you know, trying to get everything done and set up and everything. You already get a lot of these DSGs, their strengths and their weaknesses. And thankfully, we have an amazing group of people. And then overall customer service, which sometimes has been like a fault for me. To where I smile too much or I'm in a positive mood too much. And it's because, you know, I've learned a lot about myself the last couple of years, and I put on a face, right? And I try to be, not try to be the best, but I try to be like in a good spot, well kept, have these all things working out for me, right? And instead of opening up and being vulnerable, which I have been. But that's helped a lot with, being able to handle situations, especially customers and everything with dealing with them. And, just, you know, you deal with people that can be in a nasty mood, and how do you, you know, talk them down off a ledge and, you know, I don't know, get your way while making them walk away thinking that they got their way.
Yeah.
That sounds manipulative, but
helping them while also making sure they understand that, hey, this is what I can do for you, and that's about it.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever works best for both of us, and that's really what I try and find is, where's the middle ground? How is this going to impact you in a positive manner, as well as accomplish what I need to get done?
Yeah. You know? So for those that are interested in not just the career field of the ASOS, but it sounds, you know, for you, you didn't join the Guard right out of high school. I was right out of high school, and I joined the Guard at 18. What's that advice you can give somebody who's interested in joining, or just is even questioning, like, hey, I'm thinking about a career change? So
yeah, my biggest thing is, you can't be afraid of change. You can't be afraid of taking that step. I was for a lot of years, and I felt like I was in a rut. And if you're in a rut, and you know it when you're in it, if you're in that rut, it's okay to start looking out there. Don't ever turn down an interview. Don't ever turn down a conversation. Always take it, even if it's for another job, even if it's for the Air Force or the Army, right? Don't turn down the conversation. Turn down the job, right? Find the better job, but always have that conversation. Networking is key. You're going to meet a lot of people. But really understanding, for me, and it's hard to say for a lot of people, but the biggest thing I could say to take home is, money is not everything. Success is not everything. There's success in so many other ways. It doesn't have to be in what your parents have told you success looks like, or what society tells you success looks like. You need to, you know, keep rising in every single thing that you do, and your hobbies, whatever makes you happy, your passions and everything, go for it. don't hold off, because otherwise you will get in a rut. If you don't zip up that trail when you're riding a motorcycle, because it's going to be a lot of fun, a little bit dangerous, but you know that it's going to take you places. If you don't do it, you're just going to get stuck and you're going to stay on this road forever. Yeah. So if you have that opportunity, take it. And, you know, the Guard is a great place to do that in too. I've enjoyed my time in the Guard. It's been very fulfilling for myself. There's a lot of benefits as well. And it's been great for my family.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add?
No, I think that's pretty much it.
No, I appreciate you coming on and sharing your story. Like I said, I read it. I thought there's probably some more into this story that we could explain and talk about. And so I appreciate you coming on and sharing that.
Yeah.
So if you like the video, give it a like. If you want to know more, definitely ask questions and we'll ask James and maybe he can fill you in on some other stuff. If you're interested in joining the Air Guard, we can definitely put that in the notes and subscribe for future videos. Hey, appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.